Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
A time portal, Captain. A gateway to other times and dimensions, if I'm correct.
As correct as possible for you. Your science knowledge is obviously primitive.
Really?
A noise, Spock?
Behold. Gateway to your own past, if you wish.
It's got bonus.
It's got bonus.
It's got boner bonus.
All right, we'll get started here.
It's got a boner bonus.
Bonus content. Bonus content we are putting together.
For our listeners across the pond.
Yes, because of the corporate decisions that have led to people not being
evil,
able to...
Evil nonsense.
Legally follow along with our weekly coverage of Star Trek Discovery's fourth season as each new episode airs. So instead, we bring to you non-Discovery... Certainly not non-spoilery, at least with reference to the new Discovery season, non-spoilery content. So, what are we doing tonight, Jesse?
We're talking about, like, if we could see Star Trek in different time periods that we haven't seen. Is that what we're talking about?
Or, like, characters traveling back in time.
Or if they just travel to different time periods.
Because, you know, you get this thing. You get this thing in Star Trek. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but every now and then in Star Trek, you'll have some of these Star Trek characters... who will find themselves traveling through time and...
usually it's the 19th century.
Getting into all sorts of wacky adventures sometime in the past. I mean, we could briefly recount some of those examples. You have The City on the Edge of Forever, where they go back to pre-World War II, as I recall. You know, meet up with Edith Keeler and get into all sorts of adventures.
Related to Garrison Keeler?
Ernie Keebler.
Then they have
Keebler cookies.
You have Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home, where they go back to 1986.
Oh, they go to the 60s too. In TOS.
In TOS, do they? Yeah, they do go to the 60s
with Terry Garr.
Yes, that's
we talked about that one.
Yeah,
like Assignment Earth.
Yes, Assignment Earth, and it's got the black cat in it, Isis, black cat.
And that guy,
Gary Seven.
Isis was a pretty common name for dogs back before the thing happened.
You mean before the Islamic State, which some people referred to as ISIS, but others referred to as ISIL?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then Archer had the ISIS spy agency, and they changed their name.
To ISIL, right.
No. That's good, though. All right, some other time travel. So Star Trek IV, they go back to 1986 San Francisco to get a couple of whales and a human lady.
You said that's Star Trek IV.
That's what I just said, Star Trek IV.
You said four, Star Trek VI.
No, did I say? I'm pretty sure I said Star
four,
Trek IV.
You said four, baby.
You said six. Right, I will bet you it's Deutronic, not Duotronic.
No, it's Duotronic. I looked it up.
I looked it up, too, and it's Deutronic.
This guy's so full of bullshit.
Now you're just fucking with me.
They use Duotronic computers.
No, it's Deutronic.
Okay. Sorry, audience. I know Dan is just fucking with you, clearly.
Oh, my God. Now you're fucking with me.
If he had looked it up, he would have seen it. Duotronic. Duotronic. People are screaming at their podcasting devices right now.
First contact, they go back to like the 20th century or 21st century.
Yeah.
21st century.
Yeah. 2063-ish, I want to say. I mean, I want to say 20.
Well, whenever that Zefram Cochrane.
Yeah, I want to say 2069, but that seems too funny. So
it was like the
I think it's 2063.
50s or the 60s. Yeah, something like that.
I think
that.
It's 2063.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. So that's going back in time, but to the future. And in Voyager, you have the episode with Sarah Silverman, the two-part episode where they go back to contemporaneous 90s. And
I don't think I've seen that one.
That's a good episode.
I've seen that with Sarah.
What?
Sarah Silverman.
Not Sarah Palin.
No.
Sarah Silverman.
That'd be funny.
So what are some other examples in Star Trek before we come up with our
own? Well, the Enterprise, the one about the Vulcans going into the 50s.
Yeah, I think.
That wasn't really time.
I'll count that.
That was like flashback.
That is still the actors and some characters. Yeah.
It's
portraying that time period. Of course, in Deep Space Nine, they go back to 2024 with the whatchamacallit zones where they shove all the homeless people.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Don't they go to the 40s?
The Sanctuary District.
Don't they go to the 40s, too?
Or the 50s. They represent the 50s.
Area, whatever the
There's one where...
Far Beyond the Stars.
There's one where Dr. Crusher and Worf go back to medieval times and do like a wizard and warrior kind of thing.
No, that's what we're going to talk about.
That's what we're getting into, which is...
That happened, though, already, didn't it?
Well, you can make it happen using your imagination.
In previous podcasts, yeah.
So is that something... Tell us more about that. Was it the ninjas or... No, you wanted medieval England or something.
Yeah,
right?
Medieval
British Isles.
So they're one
like what century medieval?
And they would be a pair.
And it was just Worf and Beverly.
Like late medieval.
Your imagination.
High Middle Ages.
It would be like late.
Early medieval.
Late medieval, you
late
know,
medieval.
Where all the knights and stuff happened.
Where they had like full on knights
and
trebuchets. Crossbows
and
trebuchets.
Yeah. Now, crossbow technology
and,
for
and,
real.
In this conceit, would you go for the more sort of fictionalized version of the Middle Ages or something somewhat more accurate to how it was?
It would have to be glamorous, like we all know the middle ages was in movies.
So you want
a Ren Faire.
You want castles that are castles that are intact with giant fireplaces. Roaring fires, big chunks of mutton.
Yeah.
And Worf will Worf be chowing down on some mutton, and Beverly will
all
be like, Worf.
Oh, Worf.
And then Beverly will see some.
Thanks for mutton.
She'll see some sexy. she'll see. Took me a moment. Beverly will. There'll be a side plot. There'll be like a C plot where Beverly falls in love with like a particularly ornate candle in the hallway.
Oh, no. No, that won't be a part
like
of it.
She's like walking
anything.
Down the hallway, and then just like she starts hanging out with this candle.
Yeah, so
they might just have a torch.
It would have to be a bit fictionalized because the actual medieval times is probably a lot more depressing than how they make it out to in movies and stuff. Probably not as exciting.
It's not totally terrible.
Would Worf some joke about the toilets where it's just a hole in the brick that poops out onto like the peasants? How he's like that's an honorable form of defecation.
Yeah, that's a warrior's toilet.
It's a warrior's toilet.
Like literally, you can aim your shit at people.
I think one of them would play they would be a pair. And they'd have to defeat something by somehow, and they were like outcast. They were like out of town. They would have to.
This is just like being in the writer's room. Man, they got to defeat something by somehow.
Right, and so they're obviously outsiders that come to town as a pair, and one of them is a warrior, and the other is a wizard.
And nobody
and
questions. Does Worf just wear like one of them Russian hats, like he usually, or some sort of scarf, like a pirate scarf on his head, and nobody notices that he's a alien.
He could have
monstrous
alien.
He could
have one of those male chainmail hoods.
Yeah, some coif.
Oh, that would be great. If he always had his chainmail hood.
Is it coif?
There's a haircut. There's totally a technical word for what we're describing.
A chain coif. It's a chain coif, spelled C-O-I-F.
Something like that. Yeah.
Oh, because being nicely coiffed means you have like a nice haircut.
Yeah,
so
I think,
wonder if the etymology is presumably connected.
I think you're right.
I mean,
totally
chains
right.
kind of look like hair, right? In a way.
Yeah,
sort of.
If you've got nice little ringlets.
Yeah, ringlets. So
maybe Worf accidentally becomes Henry VIII.
Whoa. Does he become all fat and dishonorable?
I don't know.
Is Henry VIII fat and dishonorable?
Wouldn't it be funny if the moral issue
was...
He
was at the end there, yeah.
It would be funny if the Star Trek tale was that Beverly Crusher has to convince Worf to murder Anne Boleyn in order to not change history. And Worf is like, it is not honorable. And Beverly's like, no, but then history will be changed if you don't execute this woman, your wife.
Yeah,
that's more of a renaissance than a leap.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that fat people were also dishonorable. I didn't mean to pair the two together, but Henry VIII was known as a larger man.
He was, when he got older and his health was failing, he got pretty big there.
And then he was also mean, wasn't he? Wasn't he doing torture people?
Well,
he
had a lot of people put to death, but it wasn't like, that wasn't...
That wasn't uncommon.
It's sort of like by our
standards. Doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right.
So one would have to be a wizard, like not a real wizard, but they'd use their power of Star Trek Future to seem like wizards, and the other would be a warrior. Now, of course, the natural thing you'd think of is, well, Worf is the warrior because he's always referring to himself as warrior, and Beverly Crusher is the wizard.
But it turns out he's shitty with a lance.
But Beverly Crusher is a wizard because she does all the magical doctor shit.
And he can't
but,
ride a horse.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe Worf is all stupid about that stuff.
It's a running joke in the episode where he, yeah, exactly. He can't ride a horse.
He keeps trying to get on the horse.
He has
and the
trouble
horse,
with the
like,
lance.
Turns around and like, it could walks
be,
away.
It could be done in the style of like one of those 80s like bad fantasy movies like Dragon Slayer or Flesh and Bone or whatever. Yeah.
It turns out in a twist of events that the king finds Worf really hilarious. Like everything Worf is just saying normal statements, but everything he says like the king just can't get enough of, and that's how it like they solve the problem.
Becomes like one of the king's favorites.
So he becomes the jester?
Yeah, maybe
more of just like a court.
Hey, maybe they went back in time because they're chasing somebody who also went back in time to do some nefarious stuff, and that person has brought like a holo emitter, and so they're making like holographic dragons and stuff, and they're running some scam where they like pretend to like save villages from dragons.
Wait, that was isn't that the plot of Dragon Quest or Dragon Land or what was that movie called?
Dragon's Lair, Dragon's Nest,
Dragon
Dragon Drop,
Dragon Heart. That's the plot of Dragon Heart.
Kind of, except it's not a holographic dragon.
But it's still about, like, you know, sending the dragon after the people just to be the dragon putter outer.
I mean, it's an old scam. I'm not suggesting it's an original scam.
It's like the fire person who puts out the fires they
set. It's the classic story that used to happen all the time.
What do you mean, no? You just said no. I was exactly right.
I agree with you.
You just said no.
I don't remember saying
no. You said no. It's like when
he's always saying no.
I'm saying it's like that old classic situation where you befriend a bear and then you and the bear get together and are like, the bear will go and be all like, I'm a bear.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, oh, fuck off, bear. And then the people pay you in money and salmon and then you and the bear split the money and salmon evenly.
Except that's not an example of something that there was never an implementation of that story with a bear and a person and salmon.
No, that's really happened. That's like a thing that actually happened all the time. I think it happens now all the time.
We should do a salmon podcast.
Out west.
So that's why that guy...
It's the kind of thing that happens out
west.
That's
why that dude that hung out with the bears got ate because he didn't have enough salmon to give the bears.
Oh, Grizzly Man did not understand the deal.
Yeah. Okay.
He was like, he was not holding up his end of the bargain.
He's like, I think I'm an expert because I like these guys and I think they're fun, so I must be an expert.
Yeah, the bears were like, okay, this guy's going to do the deal like all the other people who've shown up and understood the deal. So we'll go terrorize the village and then we'll come back and then he'll bring us I must make it clear the bear gets half of the salmon and half of the cash.
Oh, so he was trying to lowball him on the
bears
salmon.
Are hungry, but they're not stupid. They know that there's value in having cash.
Some might say that the bear deserves more salmon than the person.
That's why they call it a bear market, where the bear goes shopping for salmon
and honey.
For salmon. money.
And honey.
And all the
take that money, buy some honey.
And people bears stop like buying stocks because they need salmon. Yeah. But a bull market, they break all the salmon. So they buy more, they need more stocks so they can have energy to break all the salmon. All
right. So that's middle.
So we got some
Middle Ages.
Some kind of Renaissance.
They solve the problem, head home. What's another? What about you, Jesse? Where would you like to see somebody go?
Well, like some kind of encounter with Genghis Khan, perhaps.
Ooh.
Or Genghis Khan, if you're depending on your pronunciation.
Genghis
Khan, I think, is the actual.
It's Guy Fieri, not Guy Fieri.
Yeah, it's a different fellow.
Khan would be really cool. There's a lot of scope there. So
because
you could either have them befriending Genghis Khan or having to deal with him. Which characters would you think would be most appropriate to or most interesting to see deal with them? I'll tell you that Avery Brooks did a really good job. as Tamburlaine in the play.
Oh, word,
Tamburlaine.
Mm. Yeah, well, yeah, like Tamburlaine is a few centuries later, but.
I know, but I could envision him like going toe to toe with somebody like Genghis Khan.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or even
some other kind.
Would he prevent Genghis from creating all those offspring somehow, and that would somehow cause the destruction of the planet?
Right. If Captain Sisko goes back in time and gets an argument with Genghis Khan and kicks him in the nuts, and then Genghis Khan can't have babies anymore.
Yeah. And who's did Genghis Khan have like an enemy that we know of? A name? Was there a name?
Not really.
I mean, it depends how you define enemy. If you mean people who stood a chance against him, apparently not that many.
You couldn't do the joke where he kicks him and then his enemy's like, "You aren't like that guy," and he's like, "I'm not that guy." You know how Sisko did when he punched Q, and Q was like, "Picard wouldn't have done that.
Picard.
I'm not." So there's no analog to that in this scenario you're talking about.
He was pretty much only limited by like his sort of supply chain. You know, he could pretty much beat anybody.
Could be a whole episode
in a battle
about supply chains.
Even his successors were also very successful.
I bet he got to eat so much food.
I don't know if he was really all that.
He might not have been that into that, you know.
Maybe he didn't have a historical legendary eating habit.
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't know if he wasn't.
But I bet you know he ate. You know he had
access to the goods.
You know he ate some fucking meat, man.
A lot of food. My understanding is that a lot of food was transferred around the world by the Mongols. A lot of Chinese food was transferred into the West, into Europe, and beyond.
And beyond.
From Mongols who would learn or acquire the food from Chinese.
And gunpowder, too.
Guards who were guarding the Great Wall, and as well as the borderlands where the Great Wall would eventually be built, to help ward off the Mongols.
All right. So, Patrick, what do you think about a time you would like to see Star Trek visit?
I've always been curious why they haven't done much in sort of like ancient Egypt. They've touched a little bit on ancient Rome.
Well, they've already
with Apollo. Mourns for Adonis.
They've already done the Old West thing. So
They did the fuck out of the Old West.
Yeah.
Thing.
So the Egypt is kind of like that's kind of like the Old West because there's a lot of sand.
It is no.
There's a lot of brown floor, brown ground,
it's like the
brown,
old
brown
East
ground,
or something.
Brown ground.
No, I disagree.
The ground is brown.
No, first of all, it's not. I went to Egypt in the desert. The fucking sand was like fucking white as snow.
Okay,
and
but
blinding.
You know what I mean. You know what
I mean.
I'm
not sure I know what you mean.
The ground is not lush, full of greenery.
We're talking about the Nile Delta. It's actually gorgeous.
We're not talking about the Nile Delta.
Maybe we are. I just said ancient Egypt. They lived there for a fucking reason. They weren't like living. It was nicer back then.
You're making
too, by
me
the way.
Seem like an asshole, Patrick.
No, I'm not making you seem like nothing.
You want to do like Bronze Age Egypt when they're making pyramids and stuff, right? You're not talking about like Cleopatra Egypt. Right?
No, more ancient
more like
style.
Like the height of like ancient Egypt.
I mean, you could do like a Tutankhamun sort of thing.
Tutankhamun.
Or you know,
Ramses
could be interesting, but it doesn't. The characters don't necessarily have to interact with the leaders. You know, it could be a daily life sort of thing.
I was just going for like exactly what kind.
Now the issue, of course, is, and who knows, maybe this influenced them at least after a certain period. But Stargate has these intense associations with ancient Egypt, both in the movie and a little bit in the TV show.
Yeah, the movie was all about that,
but particularly the movie.
It had all the raw imagery or whatever.
Yeah, so there may have been a reticence to do that. There may have been other reasons why they had reticence. You know, like the ancient alien stuff. Like there's just a bunch of nonsense around. Maybe they thought it was sort of tired. However, I think that in the context of a Star Trek show, particularly if you're talking like maybe Picard, who's an archaeologist, maybe Picard and Data, or
was it Set? Was it Set they had in Stargate? I guess it was more like Set.
Set, yeah. Isn't he the coyote looking?
Yeah, Ra is like seems like some kind of bird looking.
Ra's
thing.
Usually birdy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Picard, and I'm not exactly sure who else would go with him. I mean, it could even be like a Picard and Vash adventure. Mm. Like maybe Q sends them back to ancient Vash. Egypt. Could be fun. Picard and Wesley, I don't know. Wesley...
he's already got a traveling partner in the Traveler.
Yeah, in the Traveler. It'd be funny if Wesley wanted to hang out with the Traveler and Captain Picard, and Captain Picard and the Traveler just aggravated each other. And Wesley was getting all agitated because he's just like, I just want these guys to be friends.
Yeah, and then Wesley would be Wesley's big moment, and then they would be bickering, and Wesley would be like, can't you guys stop fighting for 1 minute? This is my time now. Can't you hold off your fighting until later? Why are you so selfish?
It would be funny if Picard and the Traveler became friends because Wesley it does something that aggravates each of them, like in the same way, and they both make an aggravated grumble simultaneously, and then look at each other, and they're like, "Oh, you're aggravated by that? Yeah. Oh yeah, do you remember the time?" And then the traveler and Picard start telling stories about how times that Wesley cramped their style.
Yeah,
Troy could do ancient Egypt, and she could have like that ancient Egypt kind of hair style.
Troy would have fun in ancient Egypt. I think she would have a good time, especially with all that empathic stuff.
Yeah.
That empathic stuff's usually pretty good.
I'm not immediately thinking of a clever story that could go on in there because, and maybe that's part of the issue because, I mean, all the stories are like, oh, is there a hidden object that's needed? Nah. Well, they kind of already did that with Picard and the whole, you know, that,
with
that
them,
Vulcan.
They're just visiting ancient thing. Egypt, kind of hanging out, having a, you know, a mango, whatever the fuck.
Mango
lassi.
I don't think they had mangoes back then.
They didn't have mangoes back then?
Not in Egypt, yeah.
Maybe they did. Do you think it would be stupid if they went back and hung out with dinosaurs?
I was thinking about that, and...
Except for the dinosaurs aren't real.
Wait a second. You're mixing things up.
Gotcha.
You're mixing things up. Oh, it's right. The bones were put on the earth as a test.
As a test.
From God. God is testing our faith. And so he put dinosaur bones on... People believe this. People believe this. This is real.
Yes, I know.
Where God put dinosaur bones in the earth, and we find them, and we're not supposed to believe that they're from another creature. We're supposed to believe that God put it as a test of our faith.
Or the devil put them there to trick us.
They're dragons.
Or to trick, yeah. So
the dinosaur thing I've thought about before was Star Trek and
dragons.
You really have to get that right angle as to why are they back there. To do it right, you know, there was no grass back then. I think most trees were not evolved back then. It was mostly ferns. A lot of ferns and some
sort of gullies?
Weird pre.
They had a period a
gully
where it was
is
all
a
like,
geological formation.
Where it was like all
it's
like
a fern gully.
Funny.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. What were you saying, Jesse?
He was
making a fern gully.
I was making a dumb joke. It was low hanging fruit.
You could do as a variation instead of Genghis Khan, you could do Kublai Khan, and they could be sort of instead of Marco Polo, and it would be kind of hokey in a Star Trek hokiness, but
you could throw in Shaka Khan.
It could be Shaka Khan. It could be just fucking Khan.
Yeah.
They could do some piratey stuff. Could be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Piratey's you know, good. Mostly fictional, but there could be some.
Are you talking about fancy romanticized pirates or bad rapey pirates?
Like, both.
Could be either.
A fanciful version of the rapey.
Yeah, because Star Trek doesn't necessarily shy away from some. Even some of the kids oriented Star Trek has some like Prodigy is like, oh yeah, they're being tortured on a prison planet.
Yeah, that I remember was a, I was watching slaves. I was watching some Spike TV show that was
enslaved.
Spike TV. Spike. It was the show was like great super greatest warrior or something where they'd pit like samurai warriors against cowboys or something like that. And one of them...
Like a Viking versus a samurai.
Yeah, one of them was a pirate versus something. And they always bring up the experts, right? And under one of the expert, it said the guy was called a pirate expert, basically. And I was like, what is a pirate expert? My brother was like, it's just like another way of saying rape enthusiast.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucked up because there's the complicated, there's like the real pirates that don't really share much in common with the stylized version of pirates in terms of, you know, pirates, I think, for example, had fairly good pay, essentially had unions. There was proto-democracies in a lot of ways in terms of how they ran ships, developed some good medical tools and things for the age.
They did have some kind of retirement plan.
Retirement plans are fairly egalitarian. Most pirates, I think the average career span of a pirate was about a year. I think they generally were either captured and killed or just stopped because they got a certain amount of wealth. And
they already
stopped.
Did pirate thing though on Generations, beginning of Generations.
What you mean in the movie? That's not pirates. That's like on a capital ship.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
They were just goofing around.
And well, not they necessarily. Did a boat thing. I when I'm thinking they the pirates, I'm around. Thinking more like they're in Port-au-Prince or in somewhere in Jamaica.
Cartagena.
Yeah, they're in like a pirate cove like in Belize or something. You know, there's some...
Unbelievable.
There's some adventuring going on around there.
Yeah, you know, Ocracoke.
We talked about... We talked about Egypt. We talked about England. We talked about not Old West. Piratey times. What about...
Vikings.
Oh, yeah. The Vikings could be cool. But again, I don't know. I'm thinking
with Odo.
At this point, we're just kind of naming different things that
exactly.
happen.
Exactly. I'm naming whatever pops into my head at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, what would be good for Star Trek?
Yeah, I think a lot of these aren't that great for Star Trek.
Yeah, which is
maybe why they didn't go to them. But it's all about what the plot conceit is. I think that's what's demonstrated is the importance.
That's why Worf and Beverly Crusher would work great, because it would be like a buddy flick.
Yeah, it's got.
It would be a buddy flick.
That one's pretty good.
Like the pairing of Worf and Crusher is buddy flick. Plus, you get the whole warrior. And wizards and warriors.
You can throw Barkley in there if you want.
Oh man, what is he gonna do?
Barkley
all twitchy.
You feel all bad about Barkley because he seems like he's like a good guy who's all shy and stuff, but then you find out he's actually kind of an asshole.
He's a creep, and he just pisses off.
And he's like late to shit.
He's stealing people's hollow images, presumably using them for sex, which is expressly against the rules.
Mm-hmm. That's way against the rules.
It's just kind of weird.
That's some Me Three shit.
Yes,
Me Three,
like Me Too, but in the future.
Extra.
I didn't get that. That's funny.
Barkley. I mean, Barkley would be an interesting one to send time traveling because he's all weird.
If someone was going to go back to dinosaurs, you could send Barkley alone.
I was going to say send Barkley back to the 60s. He'd fit right into that misogynistic culture. It'd be funny if Barkley ended up being like all cool, calm, and collected in like the 1960s, working for like an ad agency. Because like that's he just belongs someplace where like you can treat women like shit and just make up whatever the fuck you
mad
want.
Man, like Mad Men. Barkley was in Mad Men. Barkley was in Mad Men. That'd be a good crossover then.
But the importance of the plot device really is illustrated here, because if you don't have the right reason to go, one reason would be somebody else has gone back in time and you've got to go back and get them, because otherwise they're going to fuck shit up somehow.
Right. Data's head.
Another reason is an accident, right? Like a temporal anomaly or something causes a problem. Another reason is a malevolent force is trying to send you back in time for some reason, like Q or somebody.
You could erase Data's memory and have him wake up in the transition between the transition where the rise of Christianity is occurring. And you could like put him in that scenario.
Are you saying make Data Jesus?
I wasn't going that far.
Is that why
Jesus rose after the third day? Because Data's self-diagnostic sorted out, and he just moved that rock out of the way because he's Data.
You know, I was just thinking of a term.
You've fucking convinced me, Dan. You convinced me that Data is Jesus.
I was just thinking of in terms of just some random person would.
What does God need with a starship?
How would a mind erase Data deal with like Christianity and religion and all this stuff around him?
But they did that in that episode. The episode where Data crash lands, his memory is erased because of the radiation he's carrying.
Yeah, but it doesn't deal with religion.
But it deals with superstition because they think that he's got an omen on him and that he's some sort of Iceman.
Okay,
with
then
magic,
fucking make Data
magic
Jesus.
Stones.
Fine, make him Jesus.
I'm just saying.
You make him Jesus.
I think that was just sort of a side part of the episode, whereas this would be the focus. But I agree that there would be a
slight difference between the episode Thine Own Self, which we covered way back when at some episode of this podcast. There'd be a difference between that episode and an episode that focused on Data traveling back in time and becoming Jesus and being crucified and then leaving on Easter, you know, what we call Easter. Now, of course, we haven't explained the whole part where Jesus preaches and proselytizes.
Okay.
For years before he is murdered by the Romans.
Okay, well, was it Muhammad that like went around and tripped out in the desert? I know that Moses wandered around the desert.
Yeah,
that's an old thing.
Even Jesus did. Jesus had his trials in the desert as well. It's kind of an old story.
Were they all hallucinations in the desert?
They're not always described that way.
Well,
enlightened moments.
It's like the King of the Hill episode where Bobby Hill becomes Bobby Hill Panda, Bobby Panda, Bobby, because he doesn't eat, he goes fasting, he goes on a vision quest. It's the Vision Quest episode.
With a Wima Tanya?
Vision Quest episode where Joseph falls in with the bad crowd.
Yeah.
And his actual father wants him to go on a Vision Quest.
Well, make Data some character other than Jesus is my point.
How about you want him to be, how he could be...
And he trips out in the desert because his
circuits... He could be Pontius Pilate.
He trips out in the desert because his circuits go haywire, and so he trips out in the desert.
Do he get sand in it? Is he like Anakin Skywalker? He gets really aggravated around sand.
Gets all over his shit.
Maybe that's what happened in A Fistful of Data's.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I know. That's not the... Don't write in. We know. All right. Any other ideas about time travel? Or should we wrap up our bonus content this week for our friends living outside of North America, where the corporations have prevented them from obtaining the product they would like to pay for?
Deep Space Nine.
We could travel back in time and change the people in charge of CBS Studios and Paramount.
We could make a dice game where we pick the character, we roll the dice, and one dice says the character and the other just says the time period. And then we could figure out, like Odo back in the water world or something.
Yeah, it'll be like Odo, and then the other dice will say rub feet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Rub feet again.
I mixed up the sex dice with the Star Trek dice again.
Odo would be bomb at rubbing feet, I think.
Oh, Odo,
you'd soak your feet.
Odo would be a great
you'd get
level.
All around
it'd be
feet.
Perfect. Yeah, because it's like, you know how people soak their feet in hot water or whatever, in Epsom salt. You could soak your feet in Odo, and he would all massage your feet and shit.
The gooey continuum.
I'm a big fan of the idea of making love to Odo.
But how do they get all the dirt from when you get dirt inside an Odo? How do they get it out?
I don't think they're worried about that.
I think they're dirt proof.
They can squirt that out.
They can just squirt out
They're dirt averse.
It's just
dirt averse.
They're dirt averse.
Brush it off.
They squirt the dirt.
Yeah,
squirt it off.
Dirt averse.
Yeah.
Odo just sort of goes
the dirt averse.
Oof! Like all the dirt, all the dust,
quark,
plunks out.
Quark.
It just kind of works it out.
So, I think that'll do it for this brief off-the-cuff conversation about time travel in Star Trek. I hope that provided some small amount of entertainment. We'll continue to try to pump out some of these things alongside our Discovery coverage.
Q could go visit all the major religious figures that were supposedly existed back in the day.
You can do anything with Q.
But
none of them exist.
But the fun thing about Q is that he's basically... You know, he's an omnipotent being, so he's kind of takes that role of some kind of omnipotent, celestial godlike being. But
he's just going to make fun of them all.
Yeah, that's all he would do.
Or it'll turn out they were all Qs.
Yeah.
And it'll be like this whole...
Yeah, it's not really necessary. It's too predictable.
He's sort of like an angel or a devil kind of,
Some kind of creature. Angel. He's some kind of Loki.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing I'd say is I would like to see somebody, some conceit where they can travel back in time to when Jonathan Archer is president of the Federation, and he's older and things are cool, and there's some cool adventure right before he retires or something. He has to help out with some galactic threat.
They could still do that at some point in the future.
Yeah. I mean, soon though, because there's a limited time frame on the actors.
Yeah. But I think Archer needs another 10 or 20 years probably.
You think? Oh, well, he doesn't need to be that old.
How old are you talking about?
Like as old as he is now.
How old is he right now? Like
60
something?
No, he's got to be older than that.
No way.
I think maybe. He's got to be older than that.
He's like 70.
We're going to look it up.
Okay.
We're going to look it up.
Scott Bakula.
You're smarter than I am because I started typing in Jonathan Archer.
Charles Tripp Tucker the
Third. I know it's Scott Bakula. All right. Scott Bakula, who was born in the year 1900 and...
In the year 2000, Bachtober, Bachchoy. It said born October 9th, 1954.
Oh, okay.
So he's he's like 67 or something?
Yeah, okay. He's as old as my mom.
Getting up there. All right. Okay. So we'll have more of this great nonsense for you.
That was educational.
Yeah, we'll do more.
Fun.
Of this,
it was edutainment.
More of this
we'll
stuff.
Do a different topic. It was info. Next week.
Was it
please keep listening to our podcast even though you don't get discovered.
Yeah. And you can write us in with your own ideas of what you'd like us to talk about at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
We got nothing.
Or on Twitter at It's Got Star Trek, or Instagram at It's Got Star Trek, or YouTube, or Apple Podcasts, or all the other business.
Do you think this episode...
Facebook.
Do you think this episode was more like infotainment or edutainment?
Edutainment.
We'll leave it up
edgy,
to the audience.
Edutainment.
It was edutainment.
We'll put out a poll on Twitter.
Put them. Give them a what are those monkey surveys called? They're called something else now.
No, it's Survey Monkey.
Bananagrams.
But they call them something else now.
I don't know.
They're called bananagrams.
I don't keep up with all this stuff the kids use with their Survey Monkeys. I'm a question pro guy myself.
I don't know what that is.
There you go.
Do you know what that is?
I just question things.
Is that like MapQuest? Question pro.
No, question pro is a survey.
Like it's a professional question?
No, it's like Survey Monkey, but it's not. It's question
MapQuest.
But is it like pro. But it's like question pro as in your
question pro is to Survey Monkey as MapQuest is to Google Maps.
But is question pro, does pro mean like professional? It's like pro. This is a pro question.
It's precisely what their marketing is intended to
do. Or does it mean I'm pro question, not con question?
In favor of questions?
I'm favorite in pro questions, not conquests.
Okay, we will talk to you.
I'm pro questions, not conquest.
We will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Sir, I protest. I am not a merry man.